You're listening to the Frozen Food Section's Michael Webbable podcast for 19 July 2006. I'm Cedric Boats in Washington, D.C.
Tonight's top story.
Glory Hallelujah, Act Like You Knew, the long-awaited release of Tucker Booth's Valet has finally come. Following approximately 29 quote-unquote official album release parties, during which fans could obtain unmarked CDRs of what was ostensibly the final mix of Valet, the Frozen Food section has actual hard copies of a finished product available for sale. In the tradition of Serengeti's Gasoline Rainbows, Guns N' Roses' Chinese Democracy, and the Beach Boys' Smile, Valet joins a host of long-hyped, never-heard albums which many believe didn't actually exist. With the standard list of St. Louis Underground cameos, the hip-hop hobo proves the axiom of René Descartes, I rap, therefore I am. Also on the plate for summer 2006, keep an ear out for the collab project Math, that's Men After Truth and Honor, J-Toth and Magi. Later in the podcast, we'll hear a taste of Huggy Brown's frozen food debut, Hug the Block, and the Frozen Food section welcomes the Calc 2 Baby 2, Mason. With a name like that, he'll surely have a predilection for secret society, going downtown on the basketball court, and suburban byways of West County, St. Louis. Truly, this is a child of the times. Selections of these frozen foods and more can be found every Thursday night from 7 to 9 Central Standard Time on The Balls, the online hip-hop broadcast of Riverfront Radio. Never mind the bollocks, The Balls are St. Louis's own DJ Moff and Matthias of the Earthworms. Tune in Thursdays by going to riverfrontradio.com, click on Radio, and then launch Player. Audio Bliss will follow. For those who missed the show, all Frozen Food section releases can now be found on Last.fm, an online radio station generator that creates custom radio stations based on the listener's preferences. Log on to Last.fm and you'll not only find the Frozen Food section's releases, but many of their fans as well, from all around the world. That wraps up the news for this edition of the podcast. We take you now to Estimated Values, in which folk rapper Rob G decries the artwork of Calc 2 as a blight on society. Peter, in meditating on the deeper meaning of your art recently, I decided that the drawings of Calc 2 represent nothing less than the decline of American civilization into boobs and G-strings wrapped in the mindless chatter of mass society. And as art is the highest reflection of modern theology, I must say, your church sounds pretty hot. That's hot with two T's, Peter. Hot like the very flames of the Da Vinci Code. Think about that next time your chisel-tipped Sharpie carves out a new model of depravity. In the meantime, I'll celebrate with you vicariously so I can condescend explicitly. Signing off from 3 feet, I'm Rob Getchman.
Oh, Rob. Oh, Rob, Rob, Rob. That reminds me of when you go to Schnucks and you got the pony thing in front, you know, with the merry-go-round and the all the different candy things you can buy, and you take your 50 cents and you load it into the pony and you get on and you're enthralled with the possibility that this might be the ride of your life. But that's just what religion is. You get on with expectations, you give them your money, and then you get nothing. You go nowhere. You just kind of bob up and down. The view changes a little bit, but for the most part, you're stationary. And you move forward, not at all. And that's what it is. So many different horses to choose from. You can go to Schnucks or Deerberg's or Walmart. You got plenty of different ways to go, but every time you get on, you go nowhere. That's the disappointment of it all. I mean, Jesus. Jesus. Last 2,000 years, now we got, you know, people running around. Hey, do this, do that, be moral, but it's okay to smoke. Yeah. Yeah, we'll support that lobbying group. But we also don't want you to, you know, do anything that might better life, like not having unwanted kids. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not a big deal. It's fine. You know, I don't care if you can't, you know, afford to take care of that kid. You have to. And yeah, so what if he turns out to be a criminal? That's just going to be an excuse for us to blame poor people for their society's problems. And I mean, then we can give ourselves all these wonderful benefits, like tax cuts that only affect 17 people in the United States. But hey, guess who's spending all the money? $154 million in lobbying. Yeah, the Campbell family, the Walmart family, and some other family. I don't know. I read the paper like 8 days ago. Doesn't matter. Do you even understand how to spend $154 million on lobbying? You're only allowed to spend $50 on a dinner for a congressman. I mean, that's it. And I'm sure all of them went to steak dinners. I mean, none of them went to fact-finding missions. Thank you, Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff. Who names their kid Jack Abramoff? It's like the only thing you can do at that point is to become a lobbyist. Jack Abramoff. How did that guy make it out of kindergarten? I mean, he obviously went to a school where there was no kids being bussed in from the city. I mean, I got fucked up for the name Peter C. And Rob, in responding to the theology statement that you said there, like, modern theology, all we're doing, all that's going on is just we're responding with rearranging the same pieces of furniture in the same room. Nothing new has been added, because nothing new can be added. That's what religion is. It's a basis of deduction, all built on premise. It is not scientific. It is not a good form of epistemology. I mean, induction is not that much better, but at least you're starting with fact. You're not building a castle on the sand. But hey, I love it. I'm gonna go smoke my Republican cigarettes outside now.
I'm on the verge of insanity, taking on the world for my family. With America's goddamn to me, lots of losses, lots of gains, niggas plotting on your chain. But down from St. Louis, and money is a thing. Little buddy, let them swing, and we gon' swing back. Now we on corner hang, we hug the block, man. All my ladies in this bitch, they was raised by thugs with dope dealing boyfriends that'll pay for us loves. On this raw shit daily, coughing, blazing, flossing, maybe while my confidence pays me. Ain't easy to do it when you're broke on your own. We say Saint Loke, cause niggas low to the dome. No signs of disrespect, cause throwing signs and tripping sets only lead to spitting text. Old head niggas slicing necks. Out here, 10 G's is the price of death. My town is real, I'm too grown to fight and shit. I'm just trying to live. Don't stop, stop, yeah. Go and get em. Why? I know you feeling pride. What I'm feeling, don't stop, stop, yeah. Go and get em. Why? I know you feeling pride. What I'm feeling,
You're listening to Huggy Brown's track, Get 'em, fresh off of the latest Frozen Food Section release, Hug the Block, now available for sale.
The St. Louis lifestyle, yeah. You feeling, yeah. What? Can I get it when I want it, besides that feeling when I'm good blooded?
This brings us to the Audiophonic Sweetmeat segment of the podcast, in which we showcase live recordings of local underground shows. This month's Sweetmeat features indie rock from Washington, D.C., a composition written by Jonathan Toth from Hoff, Tucker Booth, and Rob Getchman. From the Velvet Lounge in D.C. last month, here's Analog Jetpack playing Tales of Woe.
Super highway. But I am dead to every tire tread that you rolled across my chest, and I'm tired of all these tales of woe, tales of woe. Best friend until the end, and I wanna see us both win. But if we ever do that again, I just can't promise that my heart will make it. So here's your take, it's yours to play with, forsake and or drop and break it. girl, what do I have to do just to get a bit of sympathy from you? I bumped my head on the way to the door, and now you don't want to hear that.
Analog Jetpack at the Velvet Lounge in Washington, D.C. last month. Two blocks from the Velvet Lounge in D.C., Capital City Records looks down on historic U Street from a second-floor window. By the end of the month, however, this local-owned source for new and used vinyl will be no more. We talked to owner Stephanie Stone to find out why.
The reporter in the field, dead bodies, burnt houses, chemical spills, all in a day's work.
Capital City will be closing down after how many years of operation, Steph?
4.5.
4.5 years. And tell us about the opening of Capital City Records.
It's actually my store. I'm the one that opened it. It was pretty hard, but pretty easy all at the same time. I got turned down by about 9 banks before one finally gave me some money. And after that, I'd already found a space. So after that, everything just started. I hired my friends. We all got together. We basically built the store. We ordered all the records. We did everything. It was fun.
Was it your dream to open a record store then?
No, it was just my dream to open a business. And I collect records, and I've been collecting records for a little while now, so at the time there was only one real record shop in the city that carried a variety of music, and they were actually closing down.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it was just perfect timing. I like records. I'm sick of working for somebody. People are willing to give me a little bit of money, so I'll go ahead and do it.
And are you closing down primarily because of financial reasons, or is it a creative decision to change?
Oh, it's definitely financial reasons. Nobody's buying records. People aren't buying records. There's no point in trying to keep a record store open. We were a hip-hop house and drum and bass. We were basically focusing on dance music. And then we also had used records. We carried funk, soul, jazz, disco, R&B, rock, mm-hmm. reggae. People are just not buying records anymore. In terms of new vinyl, used vinyl, you're always going to have collectors, and you're always going to have people out looking for music. But with new vinyl, they don't need it anymore. There are too many programs out there that enable you to mix without the use of records at all. They're easier, it makes it more convenient when you're going to your gigs, because you don't have to carry like 7 or 8 crates of records, you just carry a bag, and you've got however many thousands of songs at your disposal, so people just don't need them anymore. Even promoters don't even promote vinyl anymore. They'll go to the club with a flash drive, plug it into the DJ's laptop, and give them all the new music.
What were some cultural highlights of your 4.5 years being open? Either events or nationwide trends that you saw reflected in your business?
Well, vinyl was just a nationwide trend. When we first opened, turntables outsold guitars as the number one selling instrument. That's not the case anymore. Guitars are now number one again. So that trend...
It's a shame, yeah.
I guess they figure that takes a little more talent. I don't think turntablism has fallen off at all, and I don't think it will ever fall off just because it's completely different. And it's like, a lot easier to do all that stuff with actual records. So turntablism, I don't think will ever fall off. And vinyl's not going to die completely. I just say in the next, like, 2 to 3 years, you won't have full-on new vinyl stores. You'll have stores that have a section of vinyl, but you won't have actual record stores anymore. And I'm not saying that I think they're ever going to completely stop making vinyl, because it's part of, like, the culture. But I just think in quantity, it's not going to be anywhere near what it is even today. Especially not near what it was 4 years ago when we opened.
Do you expect that you'll continue to collect vinyl?
Of course.
What is your personal taste lean toward?
I'm mainly into soul music.
Soul?
Yeah, 60s.
Classic.
Soul.
In the duration of your store being open, what would you say were your top sellers?
I think Ludacris' Stand Up, Jay-Z, any of Jay-Z's 12 Inches Off the Dirt off of the Black Album were huge sellers. In reggae, the Coolie Dance rhythm was huge. The Diwali rhythm was huge. Diwali came out like 3 years ago, and people are still playing it in the club. So I'd say any Jay-Z off the Black Album, Ludacris' Stand Up, and the Diwali and the Coolie Dance rhythm. Probably our largest sellers in 4.5 years.
Do you have any underground distributors or independent labels who you found particularly agreeable to work with or successful in their marketing?
In terms of underground, I'd say probably Fat Beats. Fat Beats, every single one of my sales reps was really cool. They're really good about promoting their artists. Whenever they have something new, they send you posters, stickers, buttons, flyers, anything that they've got promotion-wise that you can either put up in your store or give out to customers. And for the actual music, they'll send you one of everything that's coming out the following week on promo so you can listen to it so you know exactly what you're ordering, you know what you need. It's just, they're a really, really good company to deal with.
Is there anything you would have done differently in the business management of the store?
Oh, hell yeah. Number one, the main thing that I did that I think I should have not done is when I first started, I had a full staff. I was fully staffed. I was still here every day, but I was only working 3, maybe 4 hours a day. But I had like 3 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees. That was such a waste of money. I mean, all of my guys, they were good. They knew what they were doing. They were really good with the customers. Everyone loved them. But it's just the fact that I was spending so much money on employing them when I should have been the one taking up the bulk of the time in here and only had part-time employees coming in with me, like one person with me a day instead of 3 other people working during the day.
Right.
So that would be the main thing. I'd say when you get started, you know, realize that you're going to be the one that has to sacrifice all your time up front until everything gets going. And then once you're ready and able, then you bring in people to cover you and you can go out and be free.
Right. Are there any regrets in running the store?
Nope.
Not one? What have you learned from 4.5 years of running your own business and distributing records?
Well, I learned that it was exactly how I thought it was going to be. It was fun. It was hard. It was easy. It was just everything. It was awesome. I had a good experience. I'm glad I did it. Even dealing with DC, and everyone says that DC is the worst place in the world to start your own business. I don't even have an issue with that. Dealing with the city was fine. My landlord was cool. My customers were cool. It was a good 4.5 years.
Anything you'd like to sound off on to finish?
I guess just support local. Support local everything. Support your local artists. Support local businesses. Because without support, everything's going to die. If the businesses don't support the artists won't support the businesses. So everyone needs to support everybody. That's my thing. Just support.
Thank you so much, Steph.
Thank you.
Reporter in the field. Dead bodies, burnt houses, chemical spills. All in a day's work.
This brings us to the end of the Microwavable podcast. And to close the show this month, we have a special hot serving of the Frozen Food Section's TV dinner.
Nurse, make way. We have a critical coming through.
What's going on?
We picked this guy up outside. He was screaming.
What?
What the hell is going on?
Calm yourself, sir. We're going to take good care.
Do we have room for this guy? He's got a giant bulge in his trousers.
Yes. Yes, this looks familiar. Do we have his charts?
I'm hooking up the IV right now.
I read a 16-9-85/54.
Wait, can you lift his leg?
IV's in, preparing for oral surgery.
Oral surgery?
Sir, where were you when this pain started?
I'm eking out a 14-9-11 over Beta 2s. He's looking bad.
Well, I'm not really feeling any pain.
What is your name?
George.
His name's George!
That doesn't matter now, son. I think we have it.
Have what?
Nurse, would you please excuse us?
Yes, doctor.
George, you gonna be okay? You think you're gonna be okay, buddy? Buddy, George, what? Everything's okay, right? Doctor!
I've seen this a few times in the past.
What is it, doctor? Is it testicular cancer?
No, it's much worse. This man has... he's got Jesus in his pants.
Jesus in his pants!
Say it ain't so, doc.
What is that?
Yes, this is terrible, but there's only 5 known cures for this, and we're going to have to...
5? That's practically nothing!
He's got us. He's got us, and don't you damn well forget it.
Forget what?
Excuse me. I have to...
Doctor, you cannot smoke in here.
Hey, that's not cool, man.
Hey, this Jesus is one goddamn motherfucker. You shut up. You shut up and listen to my mouth. We have Satan's chance here to get Jesus out of this man's pants once and for all. You're gonna have to listen, damn it. Listen gooder than you ever have.
What are we gonna do? I mean, he's stable.
Bullshit. Look at that man's pants.
Should we...
It's on my pants. They're khakis.
Should we take his pants off? I've got a letter opener over in my locker.
Are you crazy in the brain? Do you have any idea what we would release by removing that man's pants? You shut up. You shut up, good.
You shut up.
Go get that nurse.
Are we gonna let him come out of this all on his own?
Damn right we are. And then we're gonna do something. I think we're just gonna stab it. I've never gotten that far with patients like this. Go get something. Something sharp and blue.
Why does it have to be blue?
Doctor, you rang?
Doctor, it's getting harder to...
What is he?
You're gonna need to assist us, nurse. And I don't need a lot of questions.
Save my friend George!
What is that?
Take down that first button of your blouse. Yes. That one.
Dude, what is he doing? What is he doing?
I'll take down the next one, too.
This is very unorthodox!
Shut up! Ma'am, are you wearing a brassiere under that?
Hey, George, what is he doing?
Yes?
Okay, then. Take off your shirt. Those are good. We're gonna need both of them.
Those are good.
This is very unorthodox!
See how they're heaving around a lot? Watch as I begin to stroke this area right here. What are you doing in here, sir? Why do you have beer in the hospital?
Wait, but I want to stay here for the show.
My God.
See? Do you see? Ma'am, are you beginning to feel a sense of warmth? A sense of warmth down here.
Yes.
What the hell are you guys doing over there?
Now, nurse, listen carefully to me and my mouth. I need you to do the same thing I'm doing to you, to this patient over here. This man with the Jesus in his pants. And I need you to be firm about it. No namby-pamby shit.
But, doctor...
You heard the man's mouth! Just do it!
Do it right now.
Yeah, lady, get over here and do it!
Do it!
But I feel so dirty.
This just might work.
Let's do it for science.
Do it.
For science!
For science!
For science!
For Mr. Science.
The next day in George Science's room.
We coaxed it out of him. We coaxed the Jesus out of his pants.
I feel so much better.
I've got some on my hands and face.
Well, I'm glad we got Jesus out of your pants.
Damn right, I'm never letting that homo back in there.
Yes, we should all go to the bar and get some beer. Because nothing keeps Jesus out of our pants like beer.
Beer!
Thank you for joining us for another insightful, ecumenical edition of the Microwavable Podcast. We'll be back next month, as always, without sponsors, without senses, and maybe even without a podcast. I'm Cedric Boats in Washington, D.C.